We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
If money could talk, what would it say about your life? My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm really glad to see you today. Are you glad to be at church today? Yeah. All right. Very good. Glad. I was kind of nervous. I was the only one glad to be here, but all of y'all are, I think the Bible said something. I was glad when they, what? Said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. You're here. Let's be glad about it. Welcome to the second week of our Money Talks series. I want to remind you right off the bat, there is no gotcha to this series. No gotcha. What do I mean by that? People get very nervous when people start talking about money. Why? Because people are about to ask for money, right? People start talking about money, they might ask me for some. We aren't talking about money because we are about to ask you for money. All right? There's no gotcha to this series. We aren't down the week, like next week, going to tell you about a building campaign where you can give us money. No, we're not talking about anything like that. We don't have a financial campaign. We don't have anything like that. We don't have anything in our church where we ask you, hey, how much money are you going to pledge over the next year? Nothing like that. We aren't trying to guilt you into giving us money. We want to talk to you about managing your money. We want to talk to you about worshiping God with your money, because money is a very spiritual subject. Amen. Look at somebody, say, there's no gotcha to this sermon. There's no gotcha. We want you to help you understand money management. We want to see your finances flourish. And we believe if you put your finances in God's hands, they will flourish. Anybody, can I get a witness in the house? If you put your finances, if you put anything in the Lord's hands, he's able to keep it. He's able to multiply it. He's able to do what you can't do with anything. That's what he does. We want to see you flourish. And that's why we're talking about money. That's honest to God. That's what we're doing. I hope you believe me, and I really want good things for you. Last week, we talked, we said that money talks, and it tells you about balance. We listed a bunch of scary, crazy stats that showed the vast majority of all Americans are completely out of balance. Anybody remember there was a credit card called First Premier Credit Card Company, and it charged interest rates up to, does anybody remember the number? 49.9%, and that they have 2.6 million customers. That's really staggering, right? I'm happy to tell you that more than one family went home and cut up a First Premier credit card last week. If we don't accomplish anything else in this sermon, that was good right there. Those credit card companies, they're terrible, and that's the worst in all of America. Shame on you, First Premier. All right. We talked about the three laws of balance, and there's three laws of balance. See if we can do this again. First, in order to find balance, you have to find a reference point and not take your eye off the reference point. If I look anywhere else other than the reference point, like out here, it's almost already gone. If I look at my hand, it's already gone. The greatest reference point for your finances, let's get that back there. It's hard to talk and do this. Your reference point is that you know where your money is going. And we encouraged you all last week to take a tracking of your spending. Write down what your spending is, and that's your reference point. That's number one. Number two, you need constant corrections in your finances. Sometimes unforeseen things happen, and that's going to change things, and you have to make corrections. This is also where a budget comes in. So reference point, constant corrections, and third, you need a clear objective. If you really want balance in your life, you have to know what your objective is. And we went through a whole list of objectives people might have, but still that won't bring balance to the life. Like they want to make all the money they can. But just because you make a lot of money doesn't mean you're managing it well. Some people want to spend. That'll totally get you out of balance. So will save. That will also get you out of balance. Those are the three laws of balance. What do you say? All right. And we told you that the best objective for your finances is to honor God with all. To honor God with all. If you really want to find balance for your life, honor God with all. 1 Chronicles 29, it's the story of David. He's the king of Israel, and he declares something. He's the king, but he declares that all strength comes from God, that all wealth comes from God, that all power comes from God. And then in 1 Chronicles 29 and 14, he says this, everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Whenever we're talking about money, we always talk about my money. But David here, he paints it very differently. He says, God, I'm giving you money to build your temple. But God, although it's coming from my hand, it originated with you. Everything comes from you. And we're only giving what you have given to us. Nothing you give, nothing you spend, nothing you save comes from you. It all comes from God. Do you believe that? I'm serious. Why go any further in this sermon if you don't believe that? If you don't believe that this all-powerful God also is all-powerful over your finances, that he's all-powerful over your strength, that he's all-powerful over all these things. If you have trouble believing that, then that is also why you're having trouble worshiping. That is also why you're having trouble surrendering your life to God. All right? Before today's over, we want you to surrender all these things to God. We challenge you to honor God with all, and that this is the best way to balance your finances, because you honor God as you make your working wage. You honor God as you provide for your family, and you honor God as you save and as you give. You can do all those things and be totally balanced and honor God in all of it. And as you honor God, because you know it comes from him, you're not prideful. You're not worried. You're not greedy, because you know that he provides all your needs. Because you realize it all comes from God, your Father. Are you with me today? Yeah. Honor God with all your finances. And we talked a little bit, not just to tithe. You can look back last week. Not just to tithe, like honor God with 10% and do whatever we want to do with the West. No, when we remember, I lent you my car and you brought it back to me, but you only took care of 10% of my car. And I was like, what did you do? If God is giving you this money, if he is lending you this money, he actually wants you to be mindful of how you spend all of it. He's not really happy when you waste your money. He's not really happy when you go into terrible debt. He's not very happy if you are never generous. All right? You with me? Today, I want to tell you that money talks and it reveals priority. Do you want to know what is most important in your life? You need to ask George Washington. He can tell you. He'll tell you if you're really generous. He'll tell you if you're as generous as you think you are. He'll tell you how committed you are actually to your kids' education. He will tell you how committed you are to your retirement. He will tell you how committed you are to the kingdom of God. George knows. Money talks and it reveals priority. It is truly, if it truly reveals, Chris Fluitt, if it truly reveals, then how do people get in so much trouble with their finances? I mean, why doesn't it reveal to them and they correct it? How do they go so far down the line into debt, into problems, before the problem with their priority is revealed? Let's talk about that. Money doesn't follow the law of immediacy. There are some things in life that reveal themselves immediately, right? If you were to throw a punch into my face, there would be an immediate result. I'd probably bleed, and because I'm a terrible nosebleeder, all right? and I'd probably cry a little bit, but you might run because you'd be worried about what would happen, right? There would be an immediate result to that. In fact, there are times in life you get so mad you could throw that punch, but you realize, whoa, there is an immediate consequence to that. I don't think I'm going to throw a punch. If you were to take a chainsaw and saw through the base of a tree in your backyard, would there be an immediate result? Yes, there would be an immediate result. There are some things you could say in a relationship that would bring an immediate halt to that relationship. And we may think it, we may even really believe it, but we know, whoa, 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 don't say that. That would kill the relationship. That would cause serious problems, right? There's this law of immediacy. Money does not follow the law of immediacy. We are usually respective of these things that bring immediate results. I, for example, have a terrible fear of heights. I am like over the top afraid of heights. I could tell you some ridiculous stories, but here's the basis of my fear of heights. I realize that beyond this ledge, there is an immediate result. If anything were to happen where I were on the other side of this ledge, I would not have 5 minutes to change my mind. I wouldn't have a do-over. I wouldn't say, oh, no, I'd be falling. It would be an immediate thing. And so I'm so crazy afraid of heights, I want to stay as far away from that ledge as possible. So I'm over here, and I'm probably shaking a little bit, going, oh, my gosh, get me away from that ledge. We're mindful of things with immediate consequence, right? You wouldn't go over and play with the diamondback rattlesnake, right? Because you understand an immediate result is right there. We usually are very careful around things that have immediate results, but money does not follow the law of immediacy. The bad decisions we make don't immediately put us into insurmountable debt. The bad decisions we make don't immediately put us into bankruptcy or foreclosure. The bad decisions we make don't immediately turn us into greedy money grubbers. These things happen over time. Good decisions. Guess what? Good decisions you make with money, they don't follow the law of immediacy either. They don't immediately free you from debt. I'm going to make one good decision with my money, and now I'm free from debt. Yeah, good luck with that. Call the credit card company and see. I make one decision, and now I'm ready for retirement. No, I'm sorry. I made one decision, and now I can pay for my kids through college. I'm sorry. Unless that decision was to buy a winning lottery ticket, probably the deal is not on. Would you agree? These things happen over time. Money doesn't follow the law of immediacy. Here's the law that money follows. Money follows the law of the harvest. We read about it in Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Everyone says he reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from that Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Money isn't instant. Remember that things that follow the law of immediacy, we tend to be very careful about. Things that follow the law of harvest are often treated recklessly. And this applies, of course, more than just to money. But in the case of money, we treat money recklessly sometimes because we don't see the immediacy. We don't see the immediacy. Because we don't see the immediate effects of our own actions and decisions, we keep right on sowing badly. And then the harvest comes up, and we're wondering, how did this happen? this is really misleading because it always feels like the troubles come immediately. Raise your hand if you just feel like troubles just come immediately. Now, there's some troubles that will hit you in life you never see coming. But the truth is, if you will look at your problems, none of them are immediate. That relationship problem you had, it didn't just blow up. It's been festering for years. The money problem you have, it didn't just happen. You didn't just finally get the final notice. No, they sent several notices, and before that you made some other decisions, right? It's really misleading because we always think troubles are immediate. The law of the harvest tells us that this crop that you're facing right now, be it good or bad, is a result of sowing over a period of time. It's sowing and at a period of time. Here is an example. It feels like everything breaks at once and at the worst time. Have you ever said that? Have you ever felt that way? I have felt that way. It feels like everything. I tell you, I had 3 pieces of electronic equipment all break at once this last week. And I'm like, how does that happen? There's a gremlin somewhere around my house that's doing this. How about this? Your car battery died, your glasses broke, and your rent is due all at once. Sound familiar? Although this problem feels immediate, it is the result of sowing over time. Stick with me. You know when your rent is due. Correct? Everyone knows when the mortgage or the rent is due. Everyone knows, right? And you also know that things break. And if you've had things for very long, or you have a 3-year-old, they will break soon, right? There is no mystery to this. However, we always act so surprised. How did this happen all at once? It's so immediate. Let me tell you that if you have just enough money to make all your scheduled payments, you will be blindsided by the unscheduled payments that are coming. You get me? Do you understand? If you have just enough money to pay all your scheduled payments, you better pray you don't have an unscheduled payment. Guess what? We always have unscheduled payments. Life is full of unscheduled payments. Kids get sick. Cars break down. Kids need new clothes. All kinds of things happen. Someone else is in desperate need and you feel like you want to help them. All these unscheduled payments will come at you. But if you have been sowing a life that says, I have just enough money for all my scheduled payments, you will always be blindsided. And you will always be suckered into thinking, well, this is just an immediate problem. And when we have an immediate problem, who do we turn to? We turn to Visa. We turn to MasterCard. We turn to American Express. It's true. I've done it so many times. Can I be honest and just totally transparent with you? I feel like y'all are really quiet today. Y'all are really worried. I was in college, and I was at a very scary time in college because I know my next semester is coming. I need to pay this money, but I also need to make the rent here and here and here, and money is really thin. So I'm like, okay, made the rent. I don't have the money. But wouldn't you know it? Praise the Lord, Visa sent me in the mail a credit card. Praise God. Now I have the money. And that is how I found some debt early in my life. And I was just, I thought that's how you worked things. I found a 0% and I was like, hallelujah, 0%. But then guess what? I pay off my next semester. Gives me some breathing room. But now it's all compounded trickery and sorcery because now I've still got rent due every month and I still have another semester coming, but I also have to pay Visa. And if I don't pay them, that 0% goes away. And then I was looking for what? Another 0% credit card. Are you kidding me? That's how I lived through college. I am totally thankful to tell you right now, I am free from that. Never again. I want you to be free from that. I want you to feel that burden lifted off of you. I know what that burden is like. God doesn't want you to live
That way, he's a good God. He wants to bless you. He wants to take care of you. It says he wants to provide all your needs according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. How many know God has some riches? Take this hand, weigh your needs. Oh man, those feel pretty heavy. Now weigh his riches in glory. It's way heavier. He wants to provide your needs according to his riches. Praise God. I want you to know you don't have to live life like this. You need to invoke the law of the harvest and say goodbye to the law of immediacy. What if you sowed? Think about me, just hypothetical. What if you started sowing into an emergency savings fund over time? What if you built up $1,000 for the purpose of emergencies? Then when problems come, you will reap what you've already sown. You'll have enough money to pay your scheduled payments, but then the unscheduled payments happen. You reach back into what you've already sown and you bring that forward, and it keeps you from getting into more debt. This is the first step of Dave Ramsey's book, Total Money Makeover. That one step alone revolutionized the Fluitt household. If you are in one large cycle of debt, the first thing I recommend to you is to build an emergency fund. I totally recommend $1,000. That way when problems come, you can draw from that emergency fund. And when you draw from that fund, what do you need to do? You need to then start sowing back into that fund, because you need that fund because another unscheduled payment is coming. Problems are always going to come. Money follows the law of the harvest. Pay attention to the law of the harvest. Apply it to the decisions you're making. I dare you to apply it to your relationships. Apply it to your job. Apply it to every step you take in life. If we don't understand this law, we will always be reacting to the problems. We will never be charting a course for our future. We will never have the success that we dream of. We'll always simply be avoiding this one and robbing from Peter to pay Paul. And that's how we'll live life. Money talks. But if we don't understand this law of the harvest, we will never perceive what money is really trying to tell us. Or if we do understand, we may understand it too late. Real quick, the time to think about saving to buy a new car, when is it? Before you need the new car. The time to think about saving for college, when is it? It's before you need to pay for college. The time you need to think about saving for retirement, when is it? It's before you need to depend on retirement. This is the law of the harvest. If you want to harvest there, you need to sow. Money talks and it reveals priority. I'm going to talk very quickly about three priorities revealed to us by money. Money talks and it reveals focus. It reveals master, and it reveals heart. Start with focus. What is your life focused on? We challenge you to watch your spending this last week, to write down every purchase. And if you did that, you can now look back over that and see what your last week was like. You can see what the focus of this last week was like. So you can also look back and see, were you unbalanced in your spending? Did you have an unbalanced amount going towards eating out or going towards entertainment? It's funny how Americans will spend $70 a month on cable TV, sit down on the couch and say, there is nothing on. Want to go see a movie? That's what we do. What keeps on showing up in your spending is your focus. Did savings make it into your spending list this last week? If not, then saving might not be your focus. Did giving make your list? Did you notice that you mainly spend on yourself? Money reveals focus. Sometimes we claim to have a focus. We claim to have one focus, but when we look at our money, it tells us that our focus is very different. Do you really care about your kids' education? Does George Washington agree? We constantly need to look at that. Look to money because it reveals focus. Let's combine this focus with the law of the harvest. A focus on spending, sowing into spending, will reap debt and materialism. Do you agree with that principle? If you focus on spending, it will reap debt, it will reap materialism. A focus on saving, what will that reap? It will reap wealth, but it might also reap greed. Would you agree with that? Can you see that? Let's check this one out. A focus on giving, it reaps receiving. A focus on giving somehow reaps receiving. Do you see how different that is? Not all sowing is the same. When we sow into others, when we give, we reap a supernatural harvest. God is the Lord of the harvest. And when we sow into his field, when we sow into the things he is directing us to sow into, get ready, because then he gives you a supernatural harvest. Luke 6 and 38 says this: give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. In other words, the measure that you're giving, it will be given back to you, but exponentially, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. How many know that God loves a cheerful giver? That's what 2 Corinthians 9 and 7 says. The law of the harvest, it can be physical. It can be a physical law. If I sow so many push-ups, I will reap so much good health. Sowing spending reaps debt, but sowing giving somehow reaps receiving. And that just seems peculiar. That's because it's a supernatural law. It goes beyond physical. In the physical, if it was a physical thing, giving should reap debt as much as spending reaps debt. Do you agree with that? Do you see that in the physical? But God is telling you this is not a physical thing. It is a spiritual thing. And something powerful happens spiritually when you lose your money, when you lose your finances into giving. Redemption Church, I want you to remember that your money came from him anyway. He has decided to bless you exponentially when you take what he has given to you and then you give it to others. This is the same Lord who said it is more blessed to give than to receive. He's telling you, you just try giving. I'll always show it. You just try giving, because I'm going to always show you you're more blessed in the long run giving than receiving. With God, the giver becomes the receiver. Here is another supernatural law for giving. It specifically speaks to tithing. There is no reason in the world to be nervous about tithing. If you're nervous about tithing, please, I'd love to talk to you about it. It's a very biblical idea. Malachi 3, 10 and 11. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. God's saying, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw open the gates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. It gets better. Verse 11. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Are there things devouring your crop? Do you constantly come upon situations that are coming up and they drain your finances? Is that happening to you? I want to tell you that sometimes these drains aren't physical. Sometimes they are spiritual. Sometimes the enemy is coming after you. We know that the enemy has come to do what? Kill, steal, destroy. I want you to know that your finances are not off limits to the enemy's plans. So if all hell is breaking loose in your life, why would you just sit around and go, well, this is a real terrible physical problem. I need to solve this physical problem with physical actions. Why serve a supernatural God if you don't meet every problem in your life with a supernatural Savior? Why would you do that? Don't do that. You need to look past the physical because there might be a spiritual enemy right there devouring your crop. But when you tithe, it says that, Malachi 3:10, when you bring your whole tithe to God's storehouse, the Lord Himself, really? The Lord God Almighty Himself, the one who said, let there be light, bam, there was light. He speaks on your behalf. He rebukes the devourer for your sake. Yeah. Yeah. That is a supernatural law. And it's insane because you would think I am worse off giving away 10% of my money. But no, I'm telling you, you are walking in a spiritual law of the harvest. And the things that would destroy you, the things that would take away from you, the things that are trying to destroy and hurt you, He rebukes them. And those things are not always money related. The enemy can attack your physical. This is not in my notes, but I feel led to tell you. There was one day, this was around 2002, I was playing in a church, worship pastor in Waco, Texas. And I was just playing at the church. I was at the piano and I had this terrible pain in my arm. I'd had it for several months and I went to the chiropractor and I said, can you fix me? I started trying to sleep different directions because I thought this is a physical problem. I've got to solve this. Is there a physical solution I can get this to stop hurting? And I found myself at church on a Sunday and I'm playing behind the man of God and he is in the middle of preaching the gospel of Jesus and he stops everything and he says, hold on. I don't know who this is for, but someone in this house, you have been seeking for physical solutions to a spiritual problem. If you have pain in your body, put your hand on the part of your body that is in pain and say, I loose that spirit in Jesus' name. And I'm playing. I'm like, praise the Lord. I hope someone's blessed by that. I'll do that too. I loose this physical problem in Jesus' name. Immediately, that pain was gone. And I was the most shocked one. I've been raised in church. I was in the ministry. I was doing all this. What was happening? I was focused on physical when I have a supernatural God at my back. If you might be facing something today that you've been seeking physical answers for, you have a supernatural God in this house. His word is supernatural. Prayer is supernatural. Receive His supernatural power today. Praise God. I challenge you to believe this. And the same goes for tithing. It seems like a physical, stupid thing to do. Sarah is talks online to some people in message rooms, and they talk about finances, and we're kind of all in the same time of life with kids and young married couple stuff. And they all say terrible things about tithing. Why would you ever tithe? That is such a stupid thing. You're just throwing away a large percentage of your income. But I want you to know, you can give 10% of your income to a supernatural God. And He will rebuke the devourer so that you come out far ahead if you had kept the 100%. I believe it in my life. I've seen it. I dare you to try it. God tells you I dare you to try it. He says, test me in this. If you've never tested Him in that, I encourage you to do it. I encourage you to do it. I tell you what, I'll make you a deal right now. If you tithe and you suddenly come into huge problems, you just come right back. We will give you that tithe because we love you so much. We're not after your money. We're after you being blessed. Okay? Money talks and it reveals your focus, all right? said more than I was, thought I was going to say. Money reveals your master. Matthew 6, 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Whoa, hold on. I think we found a place where Jesus made a mistake. He says sarcastically. He says you can't serve God and money. Don't you think Jesus meant you can't serve God and the devil? Because that's what logically would make sense, right? Jesus made no mistake. You can either master your money or you will be mastered by your money. You can either master your money or be mastered by your money. It seems to me that Jesus is saying you are either going to love money as your master and hate Jesus as your master, or the opposite. Love Jesus as your master and despise money. By the way, that doesn't mean you won't have money, because he's going to bless you. He's going to do all those things for you. Money isn't my master, Pastor. That rhymed. Oh, it isn't. Are you in debt? Because the Bible clearly tells us that debt enslaves us as a master. Proverbs 22 and 7. The rich will rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. In other translations, it says slave to the lender. The borrower, the one that's in debt, is slave to the person that's lending. If you don't believe that's true, you just miss one credit card payment. They'll be calling you and bossing you around and telling you what to do. Your money reveals who you have chosen to be your master. And if you're out of situations just willingly going into debt, you have willingly chosen that master. Spending or saving money can master you. Or Jesus can become your master. Don't be a slave to money. Choose the Lord to be your master. Third, remember, money reveals your focus. Money reveals your master. And money reveals your heart. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Money reveals your treasure, and your treasure reveals your heart. Your heart and your treasure will end up occupying the same space. Oh, look, there's my treasure. Oh, look, there's my heart. They're right there together. But notice, the scripture doesn't say your treasure follows your heart. It doesn't say your treasure will be where your heart is. It specifically says where your treasure is, that's where your heart will always be drawn towards. And there's your treasure and there's your heart, not the other way around. It has become the norm of Christianity to say God has my heart, but to then turn around and live a life that doesn't treasure God. This verse speaks to that. If he really is going to be the Lord of your heart, he needs to be your treasure. Is he your treasure today? See, here's the deal. We treasure our stuff. Your stuff is your treasure. So often, your stuff is your treasure. And that is why it makes us really uncomfortable to talk about God and money. We like to say, hands off my stuff. Pastor, leave my stuff alone. Just like a three-year-old. My three-year-old son. I will take something from him. I'm trying to put it up. And he goes, hey, that's mine. I'm like, son, you're about to get beat. Hands off my stuff. But don't we act the same way? I want to tell you this. If you aren't surrendering your stuff to God, you aren't surrendering your heart. The rich young ruler thought he treasured God. He thought, he came up to Jesus and said, hey, I've kept all the religious commandment. Isn't that cool? I kept everything. And he thought that that was his treasure. He thought that was where his heart was. And Jesus didn't argue with him about the keeping of the commandments. He didn't even waste his time arguing with him about had he kept the commandments and if that was really what he was about. Jesus told the rich young ruler instead, he says this, okay, let go of all your stuff and follow me. The rich young ruler then walks away sad because he couldn't let go of his stuff. He was standing in front of the greatest treasure of all time, Jesus Christ, but he couldn't let go of his stuff in order for his heart to go to Jesus. He claimed, Jesus, I'm right there with you. My heart's right there with you. I keep all the law. Oh, really? It really is? Well, then let's go. Sell all you got and let's go. Oh, no, no. I got to hold on. Hey, that's mine. Is that you today? Are you not able to surrender your stuff? Let me just be honest with you. I have problems with this. I have problems with this often. It's drink this in. Take this in. Is that you today? Can you not let go of your stuff? If you aren't surrendering your stuff to God, you aren't surrendering your heart. It's not about keeping religious commands. It's not about proclaiming that you know Jesus. It's not about coming to church on Sunday or connect groups midway. It's not about this list of things. If you walk away from an encounter with Jesus still clinging to your stuff, then your treasure has revealed where your heart is. It has revealed that your heart doesn't belong to Jesus. That's what the rich young ruler did. Make no mistakes, this is a challenge. I realize this is a challenge. I know this is like a gut punch. I'm really sorry. But this will balance your life. This will reveal everything to you. Please receive it. I'm going to be opening this altar in a moment. And I want you to come to this altar today to surrender your stuff, whatever your stuff is. I promise you, you'll be better off. Not only will you be a step closer to Jesus, but you will find supernatural blessing. You'll find supernatural provision. I'll be closing with this last thought. Here it is. It's a question, maybe a question in your heart, in your mind right now. Here it is. Why does God want my stuff? Why does God want my stuff? Let me tell you emphatically, God doesn't want your stuff. He wants your heart. Remember, they occupy the same space. Remember, your heart is always attracted to your treasure. God wants your heart. He wants to be your treasure. It's never been about your stuff. We think he wants our stuff. Why do we think that? Because that's all we ever think about. We look at other people and go, I want that stuff. I passed a car today and I was like, man, I want that stuff. And we look at other people's new phones and we like, I want that stuff. And that's all we ever think about. So of course we would project that on God. But no, 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 God does not want your stuff. It's not all he thinks about. Oh, hold on. What is God always thinking about? It's not about money. It's not about cars. It's not about fancy dresses. Here's what God's always thinking about. You. From the very first voice he gave, he's been thinking about you. He said, you need light. Let there be light. He said, let there be everything because you needed it. He said, let there be a Savior, Jesus, dying on the cross. Why? Because you needed it. He is always thinking about you, not your stuff. Gosh, do you realize how much more important you are than your stuff? Think about it. Why would God even want your stuff? God doesn't need your stuff. He speaks and it's created. He doesn't need Your iPhone 5CS 2940, whatever it is, he doesn't need it. Nor does he even want it. God doesn't want your stuff. He wants you. Another way to say it is this. God doesn't want to have your stuff. He doesn't want your stuff to have you. I mentioned this while worshiping. Someone spoke this to me earlier today. Hit me in the heart. God will never take something from you that he won't replace. God will never take something from you that he won't replace. And often God will try to take things from us and we're like, no, 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 that's mine. That's mine. But know this, let go and surrender. Let God take that thing because he will never take something from you that he won't replace. Somebody in this room, if you've got an addiction problem, he wants to take that from you. And you're like, no, 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 no. I get joy from that addiction. Trust me, child. I will replace it with real joy. Come on, somebody. Don't take that from me. I need that money to provide for my family. Trust me, child. I will replace it with provision. God will never take something from you that he won't replace. Now get this. This is the most important thing. He replaces it with himself. He doesn't take that and then just give you something else. No, he takes that addiction and gives you the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He takes that bad relationship and he gives you forgiveness and unconditional love. He takes it, but he offers himself. So are you holding on to something and God wants you to let go of it so he can become your provision, so he becomes your wealth, so that he becomes your answer? And so now you're not like, oh, I'm so glad I have this thing. This is so good, I have this thing. Instead of that, you're saying, I am so glad I have you. Jesus, I'm so glad I have you. I've looked after so many stupid things in my life and things I wouldn't let go of. But God, I found you. When I let go of that stuff, I found you. Has money been trying to talk to you? And perhaps have you not been listening? Have you not been looking at your finances? Have you been turning a blind eye? Have you been totally out of balance? Have you not been seeing what it's revealing about you? Is there a part of you that just is resistant to this whole topic? I just want you to know, you probably need to surrender something today. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. Number one is everybody worships. And you can worship the Lord all throughout service here. It's just so beautiful. We don't just worship when songs are happening. You're worshiping as you're hearing the word of God and you're just letting your focus be on him. It's a beautiful thing. That's number one. And number two is everybody receives the word of God. Sometimes you have no idea what's going to be preached. Sometimes we talk about money, but we talk about whatever God puts on our hearts. But we've done that today. Thank you for listening. But the third thing we do at Redemption Church is we come to this altar to talk to God. A lot of churches, they will open up the altar at the end of service and say, which sinner wants to come down here and receive Jesus? And then some people sheepishly come to the front, and then the good Christian folk sit there in their seat and they go, oh, praise God, someone's finding Jesus. When we are all sinners in need of finding Jesus every moment. So we do things differently here. We invite you every service. If it's a dud of a sermon or if it's a really good one, in other words, if it's me preaching or Pastor Marshall preaching, whatever it is, We invite you to come here and surrender because we have a supernatural God. He's here right now. And if you need prayer in this place, you come into the first 2 feet and we'll pray with you. We will not mess with you unless you come into the first 2 feet. That lets us know you want prayer. And if you come into these first 2 feet, I guarantee you God's going to meet with us today. He's such a wonderful Savior. He is the answer that you need. You've been thinking, I need a check for so much money. You don't need that check for so much money. You need the Lord. He wants to replace everything, all your stuff, with Himself. Sarah's going to sing. Why don't you come today? Why don't you come surrender your stuff? Why don't you come surrender your heart? Why don't you just come to the Lord? Jesus, Lord, your name, we love you, God. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all my friends in this room.
Thank you
right
for
now.
Joining us. You, for more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.